Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Amen, amen, amen. Shalom, family. I'm your brother, Ariel, here once again. Eddie Bleak Culture, coming by the way of Kol Elohim from Beth Yahweh Congregation here in Baltimore, Maryland. Just want to say shalom and thank the Most High once again for allowing me to be his vessel, to be his vessel. That's it. No more, no less. Just to be his vessel. He be the ventriloquist and I be the dummy. Prayfully, I can move out the way and he can speak through me. Once again, shalom and welcome to Ibri Coast. Prayfully, we all had a wonderful journey with Brother Yariel for the last 6 weeks on the Friday Eve or basically Friday morning, you know, kind of odd, but it's Sabbath morning for us right now, not now, but once the sunset, it'd be like Sabbath morning for us, if you can understand that. And prayerfully, he was able to go on the journey with Brother Yariel and what Abba Yah gave him for his 6 weeks. If not, they're archived. You can always go back and listen. No matter what you're doing, I like to do it at work and put it in my ears and walk around and listen to the word anyway while I'm at work. So I take the time, if I did miss or miss something or want to go back and listen to one of the lessons, I put it in my ear. I go, oh, this noise. But Abba Yah has another journey for us to go on again, and hopefully I'm sounding clear, and I'm excited. If y'all can tell, I'm always excited to teach Abba's word, and when he settled me down and moved me out the way and get these nerves out the way, even though I'm in the comfort of my own home, it doesn't matter because you still know you before Abba's people, you know, and you're just waiting for Abba to take over, really, right? But hopefully y'all can hear me and I'm sounding clear and not going in and out and not buffering. So I will open up with an open prayer and do the benediction, and then we can get into the lesson and what it's called and what the journey that Abba got us going on for the next 6 weeks. Hallelujah. Yah, once again, Father, I thank you for your love and for your knowledge, Abba Yah. I thank you for your gift of life, Abba Yah. Father, I ask and pray for all those who are ailing in any type of way, Father, that you touch them, Father, that you keep your hands upon them, Father, that you need not go further from them, Father, that you stay close to them, Father, as we go through our lessons, Father, as we go through our trials and tribulations, Father, that the footprint be yours, Father, and not ours, Father, that you carry us through, Father, when we're in our weakened states, Father, that we cry out to you, Abba Yah, Father, that we continue to allow you to lead our life, Father, continue to allow you to be Eya Asha Eya, all that we need you to be, Father Yah, that we move out the way, Father Yah, and continue to allow us, you to lead us, Abba. Father, those who are ailing in the Beth Yahweh congregation, Father, Ema, in any type of way, touch her, heal her, Father, continue to keep your hands around her, Father. Miss Marlene, Father, that you continue to bring her back, Father, and heal her, Father. Danielle, Father, that you continue to cover her, Father, strengthen her, Father, each and every day. Rabbi, Father, that you continue to fill him with your wisdom and your knowledge, Father, and most importantly, Father, your mercy and grace be upon him, Father, that you strengthen his heart, Father, and that you let no harm or danger touch his spirit at all, Father, yeah, that you keep your Malachims around him, Father, and for any of it, Naomi, Father, that you continue to heal it and pull her through, Father, and strengthen her mother and father, Father, and her siblings, Father, and all those that are praying for her, Father, that you keep them in right mind and their spirits right, Father. Brother Deuel, Father, that you continue to bring him forth. Brother Shafuel, Father, Brother Mariel, Father, Brother Yakael, Brother Shalael, Brother Yariel, Father, Brother Kanukel, Father, all your Marais, Father, Yah, that you continue, your Zakin, Father, continue to touch them and be around them, Father. Continue to send your Malachim to guard their lives, Father. All our sisters, our coaches, Father, continue to give them, Father, your strength, your wisdom, and your understanding, Father. In Yahushua's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandment, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as inheritance. In remembrance of creation, blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Shalom once again, family. I will not say Shabbat Shalom. I don't know. I'm a little crazy like that until the Shabbat really come in. We moments away from the Shabbat. That's just me. However you do it is however you do it. But how I do it is when the Shabbat is in, I will say Shabbat Shalom. But the door have not opened up yet. Sun is not fully set just yet. But this 6 weeks journey, and another thought that came to mind just before I get into this lesson, family, is wanted to pray for and ask Abba that he continue to watch over the marriages, Father, that he strengthen the marriages, that he don't let that old adversary come between the marriages, the unity that Abba Yah brought together. Now, just came to my mind just as I sat down. But the 6 week journey, I'm excited about it, and it's called the Kingdoms of the Earth, and Who Shall Rule. The Kingdoms of the Earth, and Who Shall Rule. I was a little up in arms, not upset like that, but I had at first, when I first got this about a couple of weeks back, if you know me, I don't start putting it down till the week of, right? But I meditate on it from time to time. I listen to Abba Yah, and I go in and out of what he's going to give me. But I really don't put no ink to paper till the week of, which I should, but I would know how I do, so he used me how I move, right? He used me how I move. And I wanted to, the first thought was Kingdom of the Earth and its citizens. But then I thought the Kingdom of the Earth and who shall rule. So I was going back and forth, and then I texted my rabbi, and he was like, who shall rule? And that felt perfect. You ever get something, and Abba gave it to you, and it settles, is right in your spirit. That's what it was. And I said, I'm up in arms. I don't know which one. And I've been praying, and he said that. And it, at that moment, it felt perfect. I pray y'all understand that. I'm quite sure you have. It's not just that. It's just any decision that you had to make, and you know at that time, it felt perfect. And that's how my spirit felt. It was perfect. So, hallelujah. I thank Abba Yah for that. I thank Abba Yah just for having a rabbi, a spiritual leader to call on those times, to reach out and ask a question and get guidance. You know, if we know anything about Israel, we always had guidance. We always had counsel. Not that they always used it, and not that we always use it today, because we don't. We don't always use the counsel. We don't always use the guidance. A lot of times we go and we move things without the guidance and without the counsel, and we end up in trouble. Hey, I know that. Trust me, I know that. I can hear Rabbi Gershon McDaniel. Well, son, I did tell you. So there's no excuse. It tickled me, but the hardships and the heartache throughout the years, it didn't feel good. But Mary Kelly used to tell me all the time, a hard head make a soft behind. That was Mary Kelly thing right there. She told all our kids that when we was acting a fool, a hard head make a soft behind. I'm quite sure some of y'all heard that. who's up in their maturity, right? In your maturity. But we have to utilize the counsel that we have. We have to utilize the elders that we have. We have to utilize the Moraes, our spiritual leader, Rebbe Yaakov. You know, we have to utilize them because that's what they're there for. If you go throughout the history of Israel, throughout the word of Yahweh, Yahweh always say, get good counsel. Get good counsel. And there's no taking away from you or your knowledge or your understanding when you get counsel from your elder. In fact, it enhances our knowledge, our wisdom, our understanding. Because we basically still doing what the word of Yahweh says. But, he'll make it soft behind. I'll put it that way. And y'all understand what that means by now. The hard head make a soft behind. And I'm going to let y'all know, yes, I call him a rabbi, especially every time I got to teach and something I don't understand, I'm talking to him. My brothers, I'm talking to him, asking questions. My brothers. And I'm so blessed that Abba Yah allowed me to get back down to hospital. So I get to talk to my brothers. I get that good counsel every day. Every day we chop it up and we get a chance to talk about that word. All four of us. Whenever we see each other, trust and believe the word of Yahweh is coming out. So we, and not just the word of Yahweh. A lot of times we talk about everyday life. Everyday life, even smoking a cigar, you know, and what type of cigar you like, and this, that brotherhood and that sisterhood, keep it tight. Keep it tight, especially in these days that we in now, because people are going crazy. People are straight up crazy, mad out here. They angry. They angry. And Halal is moving upon the people even more. And not that he didn't move upon the people from the beginning, from the inception of man. So now, because he has. He has. We're going to read a little story. We're going to be coming out of the book of Jubilees. We're going to read a little something in there today. And it's going to show that as humans, we read these things and then sometimes we remove the reality of the word from our lives. We remove the reality or the history of the word. This is the history. And I know we'll read something and it seemed like it took place within the day. But many a time, this is lifespan of people's lives. And as the believer, as those of Yahweh's children, he want us to understand that. He wants us to understand it. And how he got me on this road was thinking about the BRICS nations and all these nations right now trying to jockey and get world dominance, right? And all we've been hearing for the last year or so that the United States is losing its power. The country that we live in right now is losing its power, is losing its world dominance, right? And you have China over here, you have Russia over here, you have countries around the world is at war with each other. But we don't really hear about that because mainstream media doesn't talk to us or show us that. We have to really get the street media to really let us know what's going on. But that's the thought that we were given there about all this, everybody is jockeying who is going to rule the world. We know at the end. But right now, there's nations right now that's jockeying. There are coalitions that's coming together to try to set up this quote-unquote new world order. And you have to ask the question, if there's a new world order, well, what was the old world order, right? What's the old world order? And who's running this new world order? And who ran this old world order, right? And this is the intro, so it's going to be a lot of questions, a lot of definitions read, and like that, and a lot of rhetorical questions, so we can go on this journey together. And hopefully for me, I don't give the whole point up, because that's how I am. I wish I had that tact that my rabbis had, those cliffhangers. They just leave you straight there, and because they building a story. They taking you on a journey, and a journey that Abba is leading. You know, and that was one of the thoughts that he was showing me. And another thought that we may touch in this 6 weeks, and we may not touch. And I asked this, Brother Harvell or Maria, one of them, he was talking, and one of the thoughts that Abba gave, is Abba coming back for a church? Is he bringing a church back? And that was a thought, and you know how you wrestle with thoughts, and Abba, he asked a question, you answer a question, and then you ask a question, then he asks the question, and he just take you back and forth in your mind and your thoughts as you meditating and talking to him. Is the kingdom coming back, or is the church coming back? You know, did he ever give Israel a church? Where even that came from? Where did a church idea come from? Is that an Israelite idea? Or is that someone else's idea? Because we didn't hear it many a time that in the new, quote-unquote, New Testament, that they talks about a church. Did Yahushua come to set up a church, kingdom on the earth? You understand? We are steady climbing out of that hole that Hillel has put us in spiritually and mentally and, quote-unquote, religiously. We are still climbing out that hole. Because you got people, oh, the church is this, the church is this. Did Abba Yah give a church? Or did he give a kingdom with laws, statutes, and judgments to govern that kingdom? Or did he give a church? Is Israel a church, or is Israel a kingdom? No different than United States with the Constitution. No different. It's no different. He gave us a Constitution, a Torah, how to live. So when we come to a stop sign, is that a religious right, or is that a way of keeping the Constitution of the United States or whatever jurisdiction you live in under the United States, and they say you have to stop at this octagon-looking sign with stop on it? Did you just do a religious right, or did you just follow that Constitution? When we eat kosher, are we doing a religious right, or are we following the Torah? You understand what I'm saying? And these are the thoughts that Abba was giving me. This is how he took me and was asking me these questions, and I had to ask him. Did he say a new heaven kingdom shall come, or my church shall come? Hope y'all get it. So maybe we'll be able to go through that within this 6 weeks, because it is a kingdom. It is talking about kingdom of the earth and who shall rule. Who shall rule? Again, where did this thought come from of a church? Where did that? Israel is a nation governed by Yah. Matter of fact, that is our opening scripture. Let's go to Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu 33:22. And I'll be reading out it again. I know the WEVA. For Yahweh is our judge, is our lawgiver, Yahweh is our king. He will save save us. He will save us. And I like that. For Yahweh is our judge. He is the judge of our kingdom. For Yahweh is our lawgiver. He is the king. He is all three. In fact, within this 6 week journey, we're going to be able to look at these other nations, and we're going to see who's judging them. We're going to see what laws that they have and who portrays to save them. Who portrays to save them. But for Yisrael, it's Yahweh who is our judge. He is our lawgiver. He is our king. He is the one that set up over top of our nation. But we did. This is where we did ask for an earthly king. But that's all right. That was a part of his plan. Part of Yahweh. That he is too smart, too intelligent for Halal to think he's going to pull a war over any allies. He could allow Halal to direct man all day long, but Halal will be directing him straight to Yahweh. Straight to Yahweh. Now, how are you going to say that was a part of Yahweh's plan? Why? Because he had to let his son through. Israel had to see something tangible, right? And his son had to come down here. This tangible man that's going to be their king, Yahushua HaMashiach. Stand that. But that was a part of Yahweh's plan. But Abba, he is 100 million steps ahead of the opponent. The opponent ain't doing nothing Abba Yah is not allowing him to do. It's just like the old saying. When the king tried to get the prophet to curse Israel, remember that? What was that? Amalek and I forgot their name. The name is going flies by me. But remember that story in the book of Numbers? King kept trying to get the prophet, and he was a prophet for hire, to curse Israel. What did the man say? What did the prophet say? Hey, the more I curse them, the more they get blessed. The more he tried to trick Israel, the Israel of Yah, that is, because he is allowed to get in there and flim-flam Israel. He is allowed, the prophet Balaam and Balak was the king, I believe. He is allowed to get in and shake up Israel or stiff Israel, those who belongs to Yah fall through his trap, and those who belong to him, they on that scepter. So he is allowed to do that, but it's only for Israel of Yah's benefit, and we're going to continue to put that out there because all Israel is not Israel of Yah. I don't care if you're natural born or not. It does not matter. You can be natural born. You can trace your line all the way back to Father Abraham yourself. But you out here talking about that the Mashiach, Yahushua, wasn't born of a virgin, and Joseph is the true father, that the story of the Immaculate Conception is not real, you belong to Hillel. You deny the scripture. And that is teaches that. You're talking about the full moon is the new moon. Full of Yah. Belong to Hillel. Belong to Satan. Ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about that. Again. For Yahweh is our judge. Yahweh is our lawgiver. Yahweh is our king. He will save us. We know who Yahweh is. We're not going to get into that because somebody on here may not know who Yahweh is, who he We'll leave it at that. So what is a kingdom? Again, I said this is the intro, but still number one, but it's the intro, so we'll be reading some definitions, and I'm going to go to the Merriam dictionary, and I'm going to read what is a kingdom. And if you want, you can read along, and we're going to also read what is a sovereign state. Just want to have these things in the forefront of our minds as we go through kingdoms of the earth and who shall rule. Kingdoms of the earth and who shall rule. And the first one is a political organized community or majority territory unit having a monarchical form of government headed by a king or a queen. Headed by a king or a queen. Got to remember that. Two, kingship of God, the realm in which Yah, God, will is fulfilled. Three, a realm or region in something is dominant. An area, B, or sphere in which one holds a preeminent position. We're going to jump down to 4A, and that's going to be the last one. If you want, you can read the rest on your own. One of the three primary divisions into which natural objects are commonly classified. Amen? But the first one is a political organized community or majority territorial having a monarchical form of government headed by a king or a queen. We're going to stick with that definition because that is the thought in which we want to go for these 6 weeks. Somebody is ruling these kingdoms. And we know, but the front is in getting there, right? All right, sovereign state, we're going to look in that, and that is in Wikipedia. What is a sovereign state? A sovereign state is a state that has the highest authority over a territory. International law defines sovereign state as having permanent population, defined territory, a government not under another, and the captivity to interact with other sovereign states. So commonly understood that a sovereign state is independent. According to the declarative theory or statehood, a sovereign state can exist without being recognized by other sovereign states. Unrecognized sovereign states will often find it difficult to exercise full treaty-making powers or engage in diplomatic relations with other sovereign states. You have Great Britain. Great Britain is, for me, one of the most known sovereign states. Right, but under Great Britain was a lot of countries. They didn't conquer a lot of countries, and all these other countries had to pay tribute to them. Matter of fact, they just crowned their king, because it's not our king. Our king is Yahushua HaMashiach, and they, if you watched it, if you got a chance to watch it, you will see a lot of Freemasonry, a lot of demonic stuff within that. And they ain't hiding. They're not hiding. They're actually telling us what they're doing and how they're moving forward. But that's another story, and maybe Yahweh gave that to another brother to bring that out. Because Allah don't hide. He do not hide. Matter of fact, Abba don't even allow him to hide. Because everything he will do and is going to do, Abba Yah will always let us know. Always let us know. He will let someone know. The scripture says we are not ignorant of his devices. So no matter what he does in this world system, if you an Israel of Yah, if you're a child of Yahweh, you will know. I have to give that disclaimer. You have to be paying attention. You had countries like Jamaica, Trinidad, and all these paid tribute to the Queen at one point in time. And I believe our brother Shafiq, brother Den, said that Trinidad just got their independence from Great Britain, from the Queen, right? Because they have conquered. They were their sovereign state. Now I believe Trinidad is their own sovereign state. So just to give us an idea of how that thing worked and something that we can make tangible for our own mind as we go through this journey. Again, we will be saying kingdom, empires, state, countries, etc., all are interchangeable, even city-states, right? All these are interchangeable with kingdom, empire, states, countries. So today we'll say countries. We won't say kingdom, right? But Abiyah still sees them as kingdom, even with the beast kingdom. He still sees them as kingdom. But I just wanted to get that out there. So when you hear me say this country, that country, I'm still talking about the kingdom of the earth. Or if I say empire, I'm still talking about the kingdom of the earth. Don't want to confuse no one. I want everybody to be on this journey with me as I'm going on the journey. Because as the more Ray Day well brought out, that the priests are learning as well. They are learning as well. I believe, Reverend, I can elbow that out. So we're going to look at some oldest empires of the world, what the world classifies as the oldest empires of the world. And I got this again off of the oldest.org for those who are listening and want to go and look at these. And this is the 8 oldest empires. I'm not going to read everything about them in the world since they've been keeping time, right? Or matter of fact, they're going all the way back to just after Noah got off the ship or the ark. The oldest empires in the world, well, and they got the, well, and here's the thing, they always got to mention Rome. And it's nowhere near one of the oldest or the 8 oldest, but they have to mention Rome, right? They have to always bring that up, these quote-unquote scholars, right? Why is that? And that's just food for the something for you to ponder on, and I'm quite sure most of y'all already know. Why is Rome always mentioned, even when it's not even in the category? While the Roman Empire was one of the longest empires, lasted about 1,500 years, and is probably the most famous in the span of human history, it is fairly modern. The earliest empires preceded the Roman Empire by over 2,000 years. Again, why you even mention that? Rome is pretty known, but it ain't more known to me than Israel. For me, Israel is the most, quote-unquote, if you want to use famous nation out there, Israel. But again, why does this person feel the need to mention Rome to us? Why? Well, why we have to know about Rome before? And Rome, all these preceded Rome at least 1,000 years before Rome even came on the scene. At least 2,000 years. Just keep that food for thought. Early empires were formed by the early civilization of ancient Mesopotamia and the surrounding areas. As these civilizations grew, so did their spirit of power and their desire to conquer near and distant lands. Many of these first empires ruled over the same lands, eventually replacing one another as they fell. And listen, family, listen, Listen. And at this time, this we're going all the way back to Noah's time. These are family members. Remember, the earth was repopulated by how many people? 100? 200? 3 men. It was repopulated. This is just after the flood. Repopulated by 3 men. 3 men. Keep that in mind. And listen as we go. And y'all know I'm going to tear some of these names up. I'm just letting y'all know. Achaemenid Empire, this is 8 years established and ended C55 BCE to 330 BCE, duration 220 years, founded country ancient, Near East, modern-day Iraq, Southeast Turkey, Southwest Iran, Northeastern Syria, and Kuwait. Matter of fact, I'm going to do something real quick. I'm going to send it out this way. I'm going to take one of Diddy Wells' lessons. I'm just sending it out that way y'all be able to read with me. Give me a moment, family. I'm going to send this out right now. That way you'll be able to read as well. All right. Send out. And this was, I like how it gives the day where these countries were or where these empires were. Capital city, several, but Babylon was the main capital. And again, all these was in the same area. All these was in the same area. I'm not going to read everything about them, family. I'm just going to read the first clause. In your spare time, you can read them. And the seventh one is going from 8 on down. Carthaginian Empire, established and ended in 650 BCE through 146 BCE, duration 504 years, founding country, North Africa, capital city, Carthage. The Phoenician city-state of Carthage was founded in 1814 BCE. It gained its independence in 50 BCE and established its control over the other Phoenician settlement in the Western Mediterranean. This was the state of the Carthaginian Empire. At its peak, capital city of Carthage served as a major trading hub and was called the Shining City and ruled 300 other cities. I'm going down to 6 now, family, and that is the Kushite Nubian Dynasty, year established and ended 760 BCE through 656 BCE, duration 94 years, founding country, ancient Egypt, ruled by the Nubians from the kingdom of Kush, modern-day northern Sudan, and southwest Egypt. Capital city, so known as the 25th dynasty of Egypt and the Nubian dynasty, occurred when the Nubians successfully invaded ancient Egypt. The first king of the Kushite Empire was Piet, whose father, Kushtar, had started the invasion of Upper Egypt. There was brought together Upper Egypt, Lower Egypt, and Kush, forming the largest Egyptian empire since the New Kingdom, 1550 BCE through 1077 BCE. All right, I'm going to go ahead and move on down on that one. to our five family. If you want, again, you can read into all that. Egyptian Empire, New Kingdom of Egypt. Year established and ended 1550 BCE, 1077 BCE. Duration, 473 years. Founding country, ancient Egypt. Capital city, several cities throughout the duration. Thebes, Athenian. Thebes again, Pi, Ramses, and Memphis. Although ancient Egypt had 2,686 BCE, the New Kingdom is the only era known as the Egyptian Empire. This period of ancient Egyptian history spans over the 18th, 19th, and 20th dynasties of Egypt, which lasted from around 1550 BCE until 1077 BCE. Duration of the empire of the Egyptian Empire, Egypt was at the highest of its power and prosperity. Some Egyptians' most well-known pharaohs ruled during this time, including Amarth, y'all can read those in y'all spare time. Also, under the Egyptian Empire, I know that word. My eyes are just getting so bad. Forgive me, family. And architect flourished. The Valley of the Kings was built around this time. It is Egypt's largest funeral complex. Listen to that. Containing the tombs of several pharaohs and powerful nobles. Yeah, a big graveyard, right? And we go over there, people go over there, and they see that big old graveyard, and they marvel at it. They're just in awe of big old grave tombstones, right? look at that. There's dead people in there. And I would tell us, hey, that's unclean to y'all. Don't go back and be worshiping nobody. Don't worship nobody, but what is Egypt most known for? The big old pyramid, and what are they? Big old tombs. That's it. A big graveyard. But it's one of the eighth wonders of the world. In man's eyes, that is, anyway. The Hittite Empire, 1600 BCE to 1178 BCE. Duration, 422 years. Founding country, North Central Anatolia, part of modern-day Turkey. Capital city, Hattusa. The Hittite Empire was established sometime around 1600 BCE and at its peak encompassed most of Anatolia, as well as parts of northern Levant, modern-day Syria, and upper northwestern Iraq, northwestern Syria, and southwestern Turkey. Due to its geographic location, the Hittite Empire often came into fort with the Egyptian Empire, the Middle Asian Empire, and the Kingdom of the Mitanna for control of the area. But man been fighting for a long time, family. That's one of the things that's sticking out to me. Mankind been fighting for a long time. Eventually, the Assyrians dominated the area and annexed most of the Hittite Empire's land, which, with so much competition from surrounding empires, several weak, furious, and insignificant rulers and reduced areas of control. Not much about these weaker periods is known because the Hittites kept less precise records during these times. 3. The Babylonian Empire, the first Babylonian dynasty. Year established and ended 1894 BCE through 1595 BCE. Duration, 300 years. founding country, Central Southern Mesopotamia, modern-day Iraq, capital city, Babylon. First Babylonian dynasty lasted from about 1894 BCE through 1995 BCE. The first era in the Babylonian Empire emerged when an Amorite, a southwest Semitic-speaking people from the northern Levant and historical region of Syria, king established a small kingdom that included Babylon, which was a mirror town at that time. Eventually, Babylon grew in size and power and reached its peak under the reign of Hammurabi. After Hammurabi's death, the Babylonian Empire began to rapidly decline and eventually revert back into a small kingdom. Sometime around the end of the first Babylonian dynasty, the capital city of Babylon was sacked by the Hittites under King Mosulla. The Assyrian Empire, which is the second one, year established and ended 2025 BCE through 605 BCE. Duration 1,420 years. Founded country, Assyria, part of modern-day Iraq and Iran, capital city, several throughout different periods. First capital city was Assur. And again, a lot of these countries we can hear within the scripture. We can hear, in fact, we're going to read a little bit of it. Let me see. Yeah, we got time. The Assyrian Empire is typically divided into four eras. The early Assyrian Empire, the old Assyrian Empire, and the middle Assyrian Empire. The new Assyrian Empire, although the first capital city of Assur was first established around 2600 BCE, duration of the early period, Assyrians were under the rule of the Akkadian Empire. Oh, excuse me, family. I had that earlier. While it was a kingdom during this time, the Assyrian Empire did not emerge until after the fall of the Akkadian Empire. During the height of the Assyrian Empire, it ruled over what the ancient Mesopotamian religion called the four corners of the world. As far north as the Caucasus Mountains, as far east as the Zagros Mountains, as far west as the Cyprus and the Mediterranean Sea, and as far south as the Arabian Desert. The Akkadian Empire, to the Abiyah. Year established and ended 2,334 BCE through 2,154 BCE. Duration, 180 years. Founding country, ancient Mesopotamia, around modern-day Iraq. Capital city, Akkad, which makes it the oldest empire in the world. Under the empire, the Akkadians and the Sumerians was united, and many people were Bugano speaking both the Akkadian and Sumerian language. There were eight kings over the duration of the Akkadian Empire: Sogon, Ramesh, Manish, Tashil, Namransin, Chari, Interregun, Duda, the Shututura. Although scholars have determined over 7,000 texts detail the Akkadian Empire, they have not yet located the capital city of Akkad. Most of the archaeological research related to the Akkadian Empire came from an area in modern-day northwestern Syria, which became part of Asia after the fall of Akkad. And again, that is the eight older, right? But when we hear in the book of Jubilee, we're going to hear a lot of that. We're going to hear a lot of that. But we're going to go to the Torah, and we know what the Torah says, what the oldest is, Babylonian. But again, when you do a further and deeper research of that, you'll find that all these were the same. It was like, it was all Baltimore, but you know how Baltimore have Cherry Hill, Westport, Park Heights. We have all these little sidebars and little towns inside of Baltimore. That's what was going on with that. That's the best picture that I can give you at this time. But we know what the scripture says, which one ruled. And we just want to go to the scripture just for a moment, just to read in Bereshit, Genesis 10, 9, and 12. That is Genesis 10, 9, and 12. 9 through 12, matter of fact. He was a mighty hunter before Yahweh. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before Yahweh. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel, which is Babylon, Erech, Akkad, Kanah, in this in the land of Shinar. Out of that, the land he went into Assyria and built Nineveh and Rehoboth, the Calah. You can go and look up, and it will all correspond to what we just read in these eight kingdoms. And I just want to read 10 again. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel. And we know and understand that this is the very first scriptural-wise, that the scripture says was a kingdom. And you know what else? If it was a kingdom, he was the king. So he's also the very first king that the scripture talks about, which is Nimrod. And it wasn't just Babel, it was Erech, Akkad, and Kanah, and the land of Shinar. All these lands, guaranteed when you do a further study, you can link up to everyone we just read about. Probably not Egypt, so they came a little ways there, but the Akkadian, all that. All that. And again, I want to put the thought in your mind again, is all these are coming from the three sons. The three sons. So we're going to read just a little bit. No, this ain't a little bit. In the book of Jubilees, if you have the book of Jubilees, go to Jubilees chapter 8. And we're going to read 1 through 30. And bear with me, family. Bear with me on this because it's going to be a lot of tedious reading. It's going to be a lot of tedious reading. And when they're given, I'm not going to give every footnote that this did because there's a lot of footnotes in here. There's a lot of details in here. And in your own spare time, you can go and look at the details. It gives a lot of details. A lot. Again, what we're talking about, the word of Yahweh, it is a history book. It is a history. That is why everybody who goes against it, they don't go against the Quran. They don't go against all these other books. They go against the word of Yahweh because the word of Yahweh is the only one true word. The history of these people. And he also gave us not just the history of Israel, but the history of mankind is within the Torah. If we believe that, though. The Torah have to be our reference first, and everything else builds off of. Scripture says in Yeshayahu 8:20 or Isaiah 8:20, if they speak not to the law and the prophets, if they speak not to that, because they have no light in them. And I'm paraphrasing. If they speak not to the laws and the prophets, and what they saying does not uphold the law and the prophets, you might really want to check that knowledge. You might really want to go and do some more research on what you're doing if it does not speak to the law and the prophets. Here we go. In the 29th Jubilee, in the first week, this is in 1373, in the beginning thereof, an Arpachshad took to himself a wife, and her name was Razu, the daughter of Susan, the daughter of Elam, and she bare him a son in the third year, in this week, and he called his name Canaan. The name occurs in Genesis. I keep saying I'm not gonna go through all the where the name comes at, all the footnotes. I'm gonna try to read past them. In your spare time, you go and you look at the footnotes. My eyes are getting jumbled up on that family. Forgive me for that. The name occurs in Genesis, but not in the MT or other versions. It also occurs in the genealogy in Luke. And the son grew, and his father taught him writing, and he went to seek for himself a place where he might see for himself a city. And again, why in the world did they believe early man didn't have writings or didn't write? They have to have some type of communication. Why did they believe that early man didn't have writing? They didn't have the Most High didn't teach them no communication. He going to teach them languages. He going to teach Adam a language, but not how to properly write it down, not how to properly talk. That don't make sense. But for years, we brought that. We brought that, hey, early man walked around and came, and they grunted, right? They didn't know how to read. They didn't know how to write. But we forget that the watchers taught man. We removed that knowledge from our conscience. And we push the knowledge back. So when we go into the word, and things that sound a little funny and a little off to us, like, hey, that don't sound right. Because what I know is early man wasn't writing, according to the scholar. Or they wrote marks, X's and O's and stuff like that. They marked everything. No. Mm-mm. Writings, and he went to seek for himself a place where he might see for himself a city. And he found a writing which former generations had carved on the rock, and he read what there was. And he transcribed it and said, find owing to it contain the teachings of the watchers. Again, if the watchers taught these men earlier, we didn't read in the book of Enoch, that the watchers taught early man these things, the secrets of the, they had to write them down. They had to teach them how to write them down. Jubilee. All right. Bear with me for a moment, family. Bear with me. Oh, okay, because I'm supposed to be reading the genealogy of the descendants of most of Jump over to nine. I wanted to read the subdivisions of the three sons. That's not the genealogy. I remember not writing that down. But the subdivisions of the three sons and what was divided up to them. And Ham divided among his sons, and the first portion, that might be, give me a moment to find where I did write that down. Yeah. I'm in the right one. It's back to 8. Bear with me. I'm jumping down to 10. I'm going to skip all that. That's what I did. I'm jumping down to 10. In Jubilees 10, I'm going to jump down. And it came to pass in the beginning of the 33rd Jubilee that they divided in 1569 the earth into 3 parts, for Shem, Ham, and Japheth, according to the inheritance of each in the first year, in the first week, when one of the angels who had been sent was with them, and he called his sons, and they drew nigh to him, and they and their children, and he divided the earth to lots, which his 3 sons were to take in possession, and they reached forth their hands and took the writing out of the bosom of Noah and their father. And there came forth on the writing as Shem's lot. For the countries included in Shem's lot, according to Epiphanes, it extended from Persia, India, to Ranokura, between Egypt and Palestine. The middle of the earth, according to Ezekiel 12 and Enoch 1. Palestine was the navel of the earth, which he should take as an inheritance for himself and for his sons, for the generation of eternity, from the middle of the mountain range of Rapha, probably the Raphaim Mountain, identified sometimes with the Ural Mountain, excuse me, family, from the mouth of the water from the river Kinah, pushing growth towards the west through the midst of the river, and it extended till it reached the water of the abyss, out of which this river goes forth and pours its water into the sea. And this river flows into the great sea, and all that is towards the north of Japheth, and all that is towards the south belongs to Shem. And it extended till it reaches Chorazin in the bosom of the tongue, either from a promontory of the land which looked towards the south. I'm trying to skip a lot of these footnotes, family, because there's a lot of footnotes in here, and just keep reading. And his portion extended along the great sea, and it extended in the straight line till it reached the west of the tongue, which looked towards the south. The promontory on which Mount Sinai is. For this sea is named the tongue of the Egyptian sea, the Gulf of Aqaba. And it turneth towards the south, towards the mouth of the great sea, the northern waters of the Red Sea on the shore, waters, and it extended to the west. And talking about the west of Africa, that is. Africa in the restricted sense of the Roman province, which included Egypt and the other northern parts of Africa bordering the Mediterranean. And it extended till it reached the waters of the river of Gihon, and to the south of the waters of Gihon, to the banks of the river, and it extended toward the east till it reached the Garden of Eden, to the south thereof, and from the east of the whole land of Eden, and proceeded till it reached the east of the mountain named Rapha, and it descended to the bank of the mouth of the river. This portion came forth by the lot of Shem and his sons, that they should possess it forever until his generation, forevermore. And Noah rejoiced that this portion came forth for Shem and for his sons. And he remembered all that he had spoken with his mouth in prophecy, for he had said, Blessed be Adonai, Yah of Shem, Thus be Yah, mighty one of Shem, and may Yahweh dwell in the dwelling of Shem. And he knew that the Garden of Eden, it is holy of holies, and the dwelling of Yahweh and Mount Sinai, in the center of the desert, and Mount Zion, the center of the navel of the earth. These three holy places far within Shem, Lot, were created as holy places facing each other. And he blessed the mighty one of mighty ones who had put the word of Yahweh into his mouth and Yahweh forevermore. Excuse me, family. And he knew that a blessed portion and a blessing had came to Shem and his sons unto the generation forever. The whole land of Eden and the whole land of the Red Sea and the whole land of the East and India and on the Red Sea and the mountain thereof and all the land of Bashan and all the land of Lebanon and the isles of Qatar, Kephar, Crete, the ancient virgins identify of Qatar with Cappadocia and all the mountains of Sinai. Here, and it gives some footnotes, Ezekiel's and it goes and all that. I'm going to drop down to 35. All the mountains of Iraq and all the region beyond the sea, which is beyond the mountains of Ashur towards the north, a blessed and spacious land, and all that is in it was very good. Gave details of Ham's portion, which includes all Africa and certain parts of Asia. And for Ham came forth the second portion beyond the Gihon, towards the south to the right of the garden. And it extended toward the south, and it extended to all the mountains of fire. And it extended towards the west of the sea of Atar, the Atlantic, and it extended towards the west till it reached the Sea of Ma, the great ocean, stream west, that into which everything which is not destroyed descended. The text may be corrupt. Rendered perhaps if anything descends into it perishes, and it goeth forth towards the north to the limit of Gadar, and it goes forth to the coast of the waters of the sea, to the waters of the great sea, so it draweth near to the river of Gihon, and goeth along the river of Gihon, so it reaches the right of the Garden of the Eden. And this is the land which came forth from Ham as the portion which he was to occupy forever for himself and his sons under their generations forever. Japheth's portion, Asia, Europe, and five great islands. Japheth came forth, the third portion beyond. Japheth's portion is elaborated, described in Josephus. To the north of the outflow of the waters, and it extended northeastly to Josephus, identified northeastly the whole region of Gog in Asia. Josephus identified Gog with the Pentians and to all the country east thereof, and it extended northerly to the north, and it extended to the mountains, probably to the Sea of Mar, and it goeth forth to the east of Gadar as far as the region of waters of the sea, and it extended until it approaches the west of Parah, which is Africa, and it returned towards Pigia, extended eastly to waters of the Sea of Azul, Azovah, and it extended to the region of the river Kinah in the northeasterly direction until it approaches the boundary of its water towards the mountain of Rephah, the Ural Mountain, and it turned around toward the north. This is the land which came forth for Japheth and his sons as the portion of the inheritance which he should possess for himself and his sons for their generations forever. Five great islands, probably Sicily, Sardinia, Corsica, and a great land in the north. But it is cold, and the land of Ham is hot, and the land of Shem is neither hot nor cold, but it is a blend of cold and heat. Amen. Amen. And again, the thought is, all three of these sons are the sons that populated the earth. And forgive me for all that reading, family. I wish I knew how to enlarge these little teeny letters on here. Y'all know who know me. I need my letters real big. One more we're going to read, and just another thought that I will let me go to in the Jubilees is one in Jubilees 10, 1 through 15. And just listen to this. Listen. Another fragment. Here we have another fragment of the lost apocalypse of Noach, the Hebrew original of this section is extant. And in the third week of this Jubilee, the unclean demon, the spirits which issued from the children of angels and the daughters of men, began to lead astray the children of the sons of Noah, and to make to err, destroy them. And the sons of Noah came to Noah, their father, and they told him concerning the demons which were leading astray, and blinding and slinging his son. And he prayed before Yahweh, his mighty one, and said, with this thought, Abba was giving me. We want to go all the way back. Because a lot of times we tend to move away from once the flood happened, where did the demons go? We forget about that they still was around, and we forget about that they was dealing with early man. I mean, not early man as in the days of, only in the days of Noah. But once Abba allowed their spirits to stay on earth and to torment man, that what happened? This is giving us account. And that's why I wanted to read this, just to put the thought in our mind to where we are today and how they have gained mastery over us. Elohim of spirit of all flesh, who has shown mercy upon me and has saved me and my son from the water of the flood and has not caused me to perish, thou didst the sons of perdition. For thy grace have been great towards me, and great have been thy mercy to my soul. Let thy grace be lifted upon my son, and let not wicked spirits rule over them, lest they should destroy them from the earth. And again, Noah had a relationship with Abba. I know that the scriptures don't speak as much to about him, but Noah had an in-depth relationship with Abba. No different than Enoch. No different than Moshe. They conversated. Then Noah was righteous, the only righteous one in all his generation. So, of course, he had an in-depth relationship with Abba. And that's what we're bringing out here. Four. But do thou bless me and my son, that we may increase and multiply and replenish the earth, and thou knowest how thy watcher, the father of these spirits, acted in my day. And look how Noah's taking them back. Remember, mankind was living hundreds of years at these times. It's not like our generation and that span of life that we have. So we got to elevate our mind just a little bit to understand how they were living in that time. They didn't live 60, 70, 80, 90 years. They may have been living 200-300 years at this time. 200-300. Abraham, we know that at least 10 generations after Noah had a child at, 100 years old? So imagine what early man was doing at this time and how long that they was living, how long a father was able to live around his son in our mind. We got to remove today's thought of how man lives and get into how they lived in ancient times. For again, what do thou bless me and my son, that we may increase and multiply and replenish the earth, and thou knowest how the watchers, the fathers of these spirits acted in my day, and as for these spirits which are living, imprison them and hold them fast in the place of condemnation, and let them not bring destruction on the sons of thy servant, my Elohim. For these are malignant and created in order to destroy. And let them not rule over the spirit of the living. For thou alone canst exercise dominion over them. And let them not have power over the son of righteousness from henceforth and forevermore. And Yahweh Elohim, and Yahweh, Almighty One, bade to him. And Yahweh, Almighty One, bade to bind. And the chief of the spirit, Mastamah, the word apparently means adverse. Let me get the door. Thus the word equals Satan, adversary, as in Jubilee's literature. The evil spirits under the proper name is, excuse me, as a proper name, it is particularly confined to the Jubilee literature. The evil spirits under the guidance of Mespatai tempt, accused, and destroyed men, came and said, Adonai, now this is the unclean spirit is coming into the plane. Adonai, creator, let some of them remain before me and let them hearken to my voice and do all that I shall say unto them. For if some of them are not left to me, I shall not be able to execute the power of my will on the sons of men. For these are corruption and leading astray before my judgment. For great is the wickedness of the sons of men. This is a demon talking about the sons of men. Without their influence, he said they are wicked. Influence of the demons. Demons saying, hey, they wicked. Hey, a lot of that stuff they doing got nothing to do with. It's their choices that they doing. The scripture testifies to that. With Cain, Abel came to him. He said, look, you're going to allow something to attach to you and your life, and he's going to have rule over you. He said, sin crouches at the door. So you can change how you're thinking right now. You have a choice, Cain. Take the choice that Abba said. He allowed that emotion that he had to keep riding. And what happens with these emotions? That's when the demons get in. That's when they get on us and they ride those emotions until we do something that we regret. or in some cases, we don't regret. We just become as evil and demonic as they are. That's what the demon is saying. Hey, some of these men, they just wicked. Abba said it. He said it in Genesis, in Bereshit. All the imagination of men are evil. Oh. But us, feed Abba Yah. That old lion is crouching, seeking whom he may destroy. Satan, the adversary, devil, the opponent, whoever you want to call him. He's seeking, he's waiting. He's taking our own nature with his contrary, with his enemy, the Abba Yah. And he infusing his thoughts in our nature if we allow him. We allow him. And a lot of times we mess up and we allow him to slip in. Trust me, I know. I know. I know. And if it's not for the love and the knowledge of Abba Yah, if it's not for the love and the knowledge of Abba Yah, then come to us and let us know how we went astray. We'll still be on that road thinking that we're serving the Most High. But because of his love and his knowledge, he don't allow us the right decision, the right choice, not like Cain did. He wanted us to listen to him, to that voice. But Cain chose not to listen to him. He chose not to heed that warning. Hey, something is right there at the door. It's waiting for you. But the demon said, hey, a lot of this stuff they doing, hey, I ain't got nothing to do with it. Let me have them, Father. Let me take care of the old. Let me get them. Anyway, let me get them. Something for a demon to say we wicked. There got to be something for a demon to say we wicked. Maybe we got to look into that one day. Because all they doing is a job, what they do. They doing a job as well. Reading the book of Enoch, it tells you about the job that they had. Give me a chance to find where I was. Let some of them remain before me, and let them hearken unto my voice, and do all that I shall say unto them. For if some of them are not left to me, I shall not be able to execute the power of my own will on the sons of men. For these are for corruption and leading astray before my judgment. For great is the wickedness of the sons of men. And he said of them, remain before him, and let none part descend into the place of condemnation. And only the tenth part are permitted to act freely against mankind till the day of judgment. And he goes into, but in Enoch 1, and I'm not going to read the note. All the demons are allowed to do this. And one of us, the angel Raphael, is referred to as and shown by the Hebrew book of Noah. In this connection, he also mentions Tobit, and I'm not gagging. He commanded that we should teach Noah all their medicine. For he knew that they would not walk in uprightness, nor strive in righteousness. And we did according to all his words. All malignant, the malignant, evil ones were bound in the place of condemnation. A tenth part of them were left that they might be subject to Satan. And again, I love this history. Now, this is the angel Raphael is giving the history part that, hey, 90% of the demons going to be bound. The other 10%, Satan going to have rule over them, fall under his order. That's what he's saying. And Mespa are identical on the earth. And we explain to Noah all the medicines of their diseases, together with their seduction, how he might heal them with herbs of the earth. And Noah wrote down all things in a book, as we instructed him, concerning every kind of medicine. Thus the evil. Ooh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to pay it. Excuse me, fam. I'm gonna hit the face. There we go. I'm trying to find out where I hit it. Give me a minute. Oh my goodness. Give me a minute, because I know I hate it. Here you go. I got it, family. Thus the evil spirits were precluded from hurting the sons of Noah, and he gave all that he had written to Shem, his eldest son, for he loved him exceedingly above all his sons. And Noah slept with his fathers and was buried on Mount Libor and in the land of Arap. 16. 950 years he completed his life, 19 jubilees in two weeks and 5 years. And in his life on earth, he excelled the children of men, save Enoch, because of the righteousness wherein he was perfect. For Enoch's office was ordained for a testimony to the generations of the world, so that he should recount all the deeds of generations unto generations till the day of judgment. Amen. Amen. And we got one more scripture to go to, family. And this right here, forgive me for all that reading and the little tedious. I get small and the footnotes and mine and eyes get all jumbled up. Forgive me. Hopefully, if you got confused or anything, go back, listen to it, read the note. Hope you was writing down and you're able to go through it for yourself, and you'll clearly see what Abiyah was bringing up. Deuteronomy 32, 8 and 9. When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the children of men, he set bounds of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. For Yahweh's portion is his people. Yaakov is the lot of his inheritance. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Toda Abiyah. Thank you, Abiyah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to close out with the closing benediction, family. And yes, the door of Shabbat is well open right now through Shabbat Shalom. Once again, forgive me for all the tedious reading and the little and small, the footnotes. Basically, we'll be better next week. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores the presence to the own. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with shalom. Hallelujah. 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 Your word still gives me great joy. I love it. I love it. I love it. I thank you, Father, yeah, for using me, Father. I thank you for continuing to show me your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you, Abba Yah. Forgive me for my sins, knowingly and unknowingly, Father. Forgive Israel for their sins, knowingly and unknowingly, Father. Continue to cover us, Father. Continue to lead us through this wilderness of this world, Father. As we close out the book of Chazon, Father, in a few weeks, prayerfully not tomorrow, but in a few weeks, or whatever your will is, Father, allow us to be within it, Father. Whatever you will. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Yeshua. Shabbat shalom, Abba Yah.
You're a man of your word. This is what it says. All things are possible when we believe. Old chains are breakable when we receive Yahweh. You keep your promise. If you said it, we believe it. If you said it, hey. If you said it, we believe it.
Great.